Mike, we managed to get everything we needed for the store, but I cannot believe the prices on irradiated Skittles these days. I swear that cyborg candy raider ripped us off.
I still think you shouldn't have tried haggling with her.
So what if I lost a pinky, Mike? The important thing is that we're all stocked up for the big holiday rush.
A pinky? She blew off your left hand with her eye lasers.
Well, yeah, she did. But the replacement gorilla hand that the back alley doctor sewed on is only missing a pinky.
I don't think that was a doctor.
What the hell is that? That noise, it's coming from the back of the shop!
It sounds like Hoof's Raiders, but less gas-powered and more extreme.
And I'm not really hearing the usual screams of bloodlust and murder. Come on, Mike, we gotta check it out!
Oi, Ryan, you got it? Just go down that ramp like a beaut and have a go, you mug!
Hi, Jackie, here I go! Crikey!
Ryan, watch out, your head! Ah, your darn gun soiled your dungaroos!
Oh, son of a bloody bike. I knew I should have pinched a biscuit on that ramp.
What the hell's going on here? What'd you do to the store? And Jackie, what are you doing outside the vents?
Well, mate, I was just putting another shrimp on the old barbie, as we say, when I heard a right ruckus from your rumpus room. When I popped me head out, I see Ryan building this here BMX trick. I figured a nice riding tum might be all this op shop needs to really go off, so I joined in and now we're enjoying the fruits of our labor.
Dave, did you understand anything Jackie just said?
Some of it. I watched our copy, our Crocodile Dundee once, Mike. I think I know what might be going on here. hey, Ryan, you didn't by any chance happen to check out a video from our international section?
Oh, maybe. What's it up to you?
And Ryan, did it happen to be an Australian movie?
So what if it was, you old drongo whacker?
I knew it. I'd hope to keep this from you, but I see now that was a mistake. A while back when I was doing the supply runs in Bartertown, I met a blood wizard who promised me they could reliably supply the store with real fake buttered popcorn. I know, I couldn't believe it. And all I wanted in exchange were our two copies of the movie Cat People.
Please tell me you didn't try to haggle.
Well, I figured I could get away with only losing one copy of Cat People.
Dave, no!
As soon as I so much as suggested it, the blood wizard yelled at me for wasting his time, took the butter off the table, He laid a blood magic curse on the store.
Woozits and a whatsits.
He said that from that moment on, whoever shall watch our film shall be driven insane, believing that they are characters in the movie doomed to repeat their actions until they die.
But I watch movies from your store all the time, and I've never been cursed or doomed.
You all know we're the last video store on Earth, right? That blood wizard had no idea what he was dealing with. He assumed we had like 5 to 10 movies, tops. He never had a clue our collection was so big, so the curse only hit a few of our movies. Mostly in the Australian section.
That means Ryan and Jackie must have watched one of the cursed movies. But Dave, is there any way to stop the blood magic curse?
Yes. They just have to watch the movie again within 24 hours. Or else.
Or else what, you wanker?
Or else the curse is permanent.
Ryan! Jackie! Quick! What movie did you see?
Maybe it's me busting a noggin. But I don't actually remember seeing a movie.
It's part of the curse, Mike. In order to fully believe there are characters in the movie, any memory of watching the movie itself is immediately lost.
Damn. Well, it can't be that hard to figure out. What do we have in the Australian section?
Well, we got Babe, Mad Max, Crocodile Dundee, of course, BMX Bandits.
Wait, that last one. What is BMX Bandits?
Well, it's your pretty standard Australian preteen BMX heist coming-of-age shortwave radio movie.
I think that might be it.
Watch this, Ryan. I'm gonna pop a wheelie big BMX style.
Hold on a second there, Jackie. I'm still trying to tune in this shortwave radio.
Yeah, that's definitely it.
Jackie! Ryan! To the movie room! Immediately! Chad, load up BMX Bandits and start it as soon as Jackie and Ryan sit down.
Affirmative, Dave.
BMX Bandits. They're wild in the streets in a high-flying ride to adventure. It's thrills and spills, fast and furious fun. It's a real blast.
So, Dave, do you think it worked?
There's only one way to find out. An impromptu podcast.
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
That was BMX Bandits, and I'm your host, David Schneider. I'm joined again by fellow cinephiles and BMXs, Ryan.
Goose, PJ, Powderpuff, that's BMX talk. That was more country, I think, actually.
We're going to find out I'm also, what people's Australian accents sound like.
I'm also joined by a man dressed all in blue for some reason, Michael.
It's a right swell kangaroo hop, it is. Well, it is. It is an Australian. What was that?
It is.
And finally, special guest dressed all in red, Jackie.
Good day.
Jackie. Oh,
good day. Classic. I should have
show your
that.
Stuff, Jackie.
All right, mate.
We have a little track laid out here. Why don't you show us some tricks?
Yeah, this one's called the Backwoods Mongoose. And it's just a wheelie, but I thought it's pretty cool.
Well, I think you're in good company because I believe 95% of the BMX tricks shown in this movie are simple wheelies.
in BMX Bandits, the film we just watched. I want to talk about this aspect of the movie so much, Dave, because it's something. So this is a 1983 movie. Is this like the
Australian?
Peak, is this the peak of the BMX craze? Or in my mind, this was
question.
A BMX stuff was a 90s thing. So
it's probably the start. It's probably the start, maybe.
It feels like one of those movies where it's like, it's about a fad. Like, this is like about a fad culture thing. And to that end, they like, in the trailers for this movie, they're even like, you know, these are professionals. Do not attempt any of the tricks at home. Well, and it really psychs you up. And then these tricks are like, the movie opens on basically like a Tony Hawk level, where there's like, stairs and railings and these park benches and
this is before like, they're doing great
and they go right past all of them.
Yeah, then it like cuts to the bikes and they're like riding the bikes down the stairs.
Yeah,
well, where the trick isn't like they're jumping or it's just the trick is like
grinding whatsoever.
I think they're holding on.
This is like before like street style. All right, this is like like racing, like dirt track racing. BMX.
This is BMX at its most pure. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. It's so funny. Like,
yeah, it hasn't been corrupted yet.
You're not wrong. But like,
they'll have pegs and stuff.
But like, what we're used to seeing and the way this, specifically like the first moments of this movie.
I love the beginning of this movie so much.
It's cool. And it has a lot of great, something this movie I think does well, great big wide shots of Australia and showing off, I think.
Really well shot.
Sydney, which is I think where this... Yeah, yeah, and it all looks beautiful, but it definitely like frames it in a way that it's like the video when you first play when Tony Hawk games start, and it shows the video.
It's like behind the title screen,
right?
Kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And you're getting ready to see like, oh yeah, Bob Burnquist is going to do a sick heel flip over this, but then it's like Bob Burnquist goes down the ramp.
Michael
like,
Matt Hoffman was the BMX guy of the Tony Hawk era. He was the guy.
I know that, Ryan, but in my example,
I know that
I'm likening this movie to the. I know there's a better example. I should have busted out Dave Mira Triple X. I mean, that's the real BMX game, I think.
Oh wait, is Matt Hoffman? No, there was two of them. There was a Matt Hoffman and a Dave Mira game.
And then he wouldn't sully himself with the Triple X title. They had to bring in Dave Mira for that. Anyway, this movie rules. This stunts aside, but the stunt work in this is interesting.
I mean, just with that, I so appreciate how many different times they have on the screen. Like, hey, do not kids at home, don't try this. It's dangerous.
I'm wondering this. I thought that too, and I thought about it because like this is how kind of tame some things are with like say like the violence and like the crooks and stuff in it. I'm wondering if. Australia, and I think this is true. Australia has like harsher rating laws, don't they, or something like that? So?
I know for sure they do with video games.
So it has to. If they do with video games, they probably do with movies. And I'm wondering if like having even more dangerous stunts would make like a higher rating for them, you know, or something.
Well, I know that I'm not sure if this is the case in Australia, but like, yeah, different countries, like it's very unique with their ratings. Like for instance, I'm not sure if this is still the case, but for the longest time. Nunchucks were like censored in movies, like in Europe and stuff, and oh like or God. Britain.
Nunchucks,
yeah.
What a weird thing.
And another interesting thing. Headbutts. There's a scene in Attack of the Clones when Obi-Wan Kenobi, either he headbutts Jango Fett or it's the other way around. But they trimmed that scene in Britain. I shit you not.
Just because the headbutt.
So it's. I guess, yeah, just other countries, they just, you know, they have just different rules for violence
and
stunts and stuff.
You would
like that.
Hurt someone a lot if you headbutted them, so don't do it.
Do not imitate what you're saying.
It'll hurt you and them.
We have our own, I guess it's like cultural, right? Like, because some places it's like, there's a naked person, who cares? But here it's like, oh, it's you better be like,
yeah, don't you dare
35
show
before we let
TV.
You see.
Well, I think even too, like if this was an American movie, I think it's interesting watching us. Like, I feel like I haven't watched a lot of Australian movies unless George Miller produced or directed them. And
I was having that same thought.
And I'm thinking, like, I bet this would the crooks probably would have had like guns in it, for instance, if it was like an American movie. You know,
I mean the crooks they are pretty tame
or the bandits,
overall, but they do. Try to run the kids over with their cars.
I'm amazed we haven't hit them yet.
Okay, yeah, sorry to skip ahead. Just say there's some like implied vehicular violence.
Yeah.
Or attempted.
Towards the end of the movie, one of the guys literally is like, I want to kill you. Like, I think his line is like, it's been too long since I killed a man.
Oh, yeah. There's a good bit with after he says that is that he tries to get in the car and he jumps through the sunroof instead to get into the car. I thought that was a good little comedy bit.
Well, it's like, I think they do a decent enough job of, I mean, the two main villains in this are like henchmen, essentially. Like, they're both goofy, bumbling guys. One of them's like all blind. But I think they do a decent enough job of setting up the possible stakes or the fact that they are really bad guys in the beginning of the movie when they pull this first bank heist and one of the guys says...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Okay, there's guns.
He says, I'll blow a hole in your brain. I mean, the implications of that are pretty high, I feel.
They do have intense. Guns for that first
I forgot
heist.
About
yeah,
that.
The,
yeah,
the
yeah,
first
yeah, yeah.
shot of this totally movie is... This movie basically, like, after the cool Melbourne or Sydney shots, it's like... The beginning of Dark Knight with like the bank heist.
Yeah,
it is like a little.
It's like Heat.
In a way that I thought was fun. It's almost like two movies are going on. Like it's like there's a DCOM movie happening. Yeah, and then Heat is also happening, and like these worlds are merging.
That's just for those unaware who are listening, DCOM stands for Disney Channel Original Movie. Just throwing
it
that
sure
out.
Does.
Which this movie often felt like to me, but
we'll, no, we'll I think I that. Can see that. Yeah,
Brink meets Heat.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That's kind of all right. So the reason why I wanted to watch this too was like I don't know how this caught my eye. I think it was probably searching the Chad database and just seeing like new releases on Blu-ray that haven't been released before, and it's like, oh, what's that? Oh, Nicole Kidman, it's like her first movie, or like she had one other movie that same year, it looks like. And I'm like,
she
oh,
had,
wow.
I think two movies earlier that year, because I looked this up. One of them's called Skin Deep, where she is playing like some sort of teen model, I guess, and the image of it has her as 16. It looks like holding like a sheet to her body. So I'm going to say I'm glad she went to BMX
Bandits. I'm glad we watched the two. I'm glad we watched BMX Bandits.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. I just like it just was like it caught my eye, and just like the cover looks like you were just saying like a Nintendo, like an old NES game. And I was like, this looks like something like if I probably didn't see this on the shelf growing up, because it was actually called something else when it was released in the U.S. And then I think it also had a goat.
What was it called?
Shortwave.
Shortwave.
That's
what
so much worse.
God.
All right. And then also I think it had a ghost cat type of thing where like, oh, this is a movie Nicole, because she didn't blow up until probably just a few years later. She's in, what's the racing movie with Tom Cruise?
Days of Thunder.
Like Days of Thunder was 6 years later or something, and that's like when she's like Nicole Kidman, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And so this is like her beginning. And I think like I bet you in the U.S. like this didn't really transfer over until like, you know, much later when like nerds were buying the Blu-rays of it later, you know, kind of thing.
We've talked about the CB radio craze before in the late 70s in America, and I'm wondering if that was the angle they were trying to latch onto with this movie. Well, like, I can't understand the thinking of seeing this movie and thinking the most exciting thing about it is the walkie-talkie.
Well, that's what I was surprised watching, and I'm like, this is a movie about walkie-talkies, actually. I'm like, which
the
is really strange.
Incidental.
I was
45 minutes or so into this movie, I was ready to just throw some chairs and just overturn some tables. Like, where are all the BMX scenes? Where are the bandits? They do come, but you just have to be patient.
They do come, but you do have to wait for the BMX to really kick into get the kickstand kicked up. And
it's at least like half hour, 45 minutes before they even get their cool outfits.
Oh, I love those outfits. Yeah. It's like fucking, I don't know, Batman putting on the suit or Superman arriving in the Richard Donner movie. You're like, oh, hell yeah. No, this would have been one I probably would have like loved if I saw it as a kid. Or I can guarantee, I bet you this was like one of those Australian big movies, I bet, like for like kids. It feels like a Goonies-esque sort of thing. Even so, I don't think it's as good as that, but kind of like you know, I don't know, just like the kind of rambunctious sort of like weird VHS movie about like some kids. But I think it's a surprisingly shot and colorful, which is cool. But
well, real quick, shall we say who shot this movie? Do you guys know?
Oh no,
I don't know.
This was shot by John Seale, who would later go on to have a very, very successful career as a cinematographer, shooting such movies as Witness just a couple years after this movie.
Great movie.
He did The Talented Mr. Ripley, The English Patient.
Didn't that win Academy Award for something?
It did. He also won an Academy Award for Rain Man, which is like 5 years after this movie.
Oh, wow.
But perhaps his most successful... Oh, he also shot the first Harry Potter movie.
Wow.
But his most successful, I think, as a cinematographer... You mentioned George Miller, Ryan. He shot Mad Max
Fury Road.
Fury Road?
Oh, shit.
This is the guy who did Fury
Road? I think you can see it. This movie shot really cool.
You can see the bones of it.
Because there's so many close-ups.
The close-ups of the bike and where he positions the camera on cars and stuff during those chases. I see the blueprints of
remember when they're in the parking garage and they're just like swerving around?
I love that part.
That's I Yeah, well, I totally see
George
that.
Miller That's watched cool. this and was like, one die.
My guy.
One die. That's my guy.
Like, I'm doing cars for right now, but if I ever go for bikes.
Once I finish sketching this out on my cocktail napkin on this flight.
Once I finish the first of 30,000 storyboards for Mad Max Fury Road, I'm going to contact this guy.
But first, Happy Feet.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of jumping back a little bit to what I was talking about earlier about it not crossing over here and kind of the ghost cat situation. If you guys pull up your...
What's the ghost cat situation? What is that?
I guess that's a really inside... Cat? That's an inside joke with me and David, I guess. But when Ellen Page started blowing up after Juno, there was a movie that we got when we worked at Hollywood Video back in the before times called Ghost Cat that had Ellen Page's head just like huge, like floating above. Oh, like,
is it one of those things like Juno blew up? Like, here's Ellen Page in a movie.
Yeah, she was like, and she, I don't think she's even the main character in the movie in Ghost Cat, but it was, and I don't think it was called Ghost Cat originally. It was called something else, and they like resold it, you know, like the company, you know, put it back, and yeah. She's like a kid in it. And so if you look at your little Chad database screens, look at these two covers I sent
you guys. I'm looking at it, yeah.
So that's what the covers for BMX Bandits and Shortwave looked like.
This is reminding me of the alternate cover for Cat People. You remember that, where like one of them looks like a porno cover?
Don't they? Does this sell you the goddamn movie? Like, what the hell is that?
It looks like the cover of a softcore porn.
Yeah, what the hell is that? What kid is going to want to see that? Because this is a little kid's movie. This is like a kid's movie for sure, you know?
Jackie, I know you're on a different wavelength right now. I'm sending this to your Chattopedia, though.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
let's hear what she has to say.
Give me a sec.
It looks like they took a photo from her off the cover of Vogue or
it's
something.
It's so sleazy.
And slapped it on a DVD.
Isn't that weird? Because the cover for the original poster.
This can't be her from the movie. Like, no. This has to be like her years later. Like
years
some
later,
photo still.
Yeah. No, this is more in line with the other early Nicole I was talking about that she did the same year, called Skin Deep. This is very like, how
yes.
can we show a 16-year-old's sensuality?
Jeez.
Yes, like if
and
I were to
bad.
See this, if this said Skin Deep on this on top of this photo,
that makes more
that would
sense.
Make so much sense. Yeah,
yeah. I was surprised. There's no way I would have saw that as a kid and be like,
no.
I need to see that. You know, because this is like a kid's movie. I think, you know, it's like definitely kind of. I think it starts off real strong and then it gets a little bit just like, all right, come on, let's get going.
Yeah,
you know, but
I agree.
But. Yeah, I don't know. It just caught my eye. I think it's on, and she's like right on the in the main poster, like right on the front. You know, it's kind of fun.
Well, so as we all know, we were watching this while the results for the new Imperator were coming in, and mm-hmm. I feel like this was a great distraction from that because it was a tense, you know, frankly, what ended up being a few nights of Bloodsport until we found out the winner. But the night of the, you know, we were getting that initial burst. I hear what you're saying about the length and maybe it was a little slowed down, but it was just good enough. And like for what it was of just like a keep my attention focused kind of thing, I found it delightful. Like it filled a need well, I think. So I think yes, it is a little uneven in parts, but I don't think it ever loses the kind of like charm that like it always has the little bit of charm, I think, that kind of carries it through.
Nice.
It has, yeah, it has that kid energy to it that I think moves it along. Even in the middle part of the movie when we have that cemetery sequence that goes on
it's
probably
weird.
5 or 10 minutes too
so
long.
Weird.
It's weird because it's all, I love that. It's a good sequence on its own, but when it's in a movie called
like,
BMX
it's like,
Bandits.
Oh, we're watching like an episode of Buffy now.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's just like, trim that stuff up, guys. Like, we get it. But nonetheless, yeah, I agree with you. I think, mostly
that damn the chase. There's a big long chase, and I was just like, are they still... It's like they're gonna show every shot
yeah.
that they cut they
it's
shot
the guy,
in the
that's
whole
what it's
thing.
Fury Road, of course, it's a chase.
Well, that's a good point. No, with
that's
the chase
true.
Especially, there were several points where even the characters are like, okay, let's catch our breath. We probably lost them. And then just like another beat, and then
what?
Okay.
Well, whoa! And then it's like,
how great is the water park though? And they like spend like 5 minutes. How weird is that? Showing them go down the slide.
5 minutes of each character on a water slide.
No, oh no, no! I
just like the most obvious ADR.
I thought you guys were talking about the cemetery scene. I thought the cemetery sequence was the one that could have been trimmed back a little bit, but No, I disagree with you guys completely. I think that there should have been more water park stuff. I think the whole movie should have taken place.
Oh,
at the
no,
water
I like
park.
The water park. 10 more minutes in the water park. No, I guess I'm just talking about like the car chasing the kids, and it's just like, all right, let's watch the bikes go by. Then let's watch the car go by all the way. Then let's watch this, you know, kind of.
That whole sequence that goes on for a long time, and it does feel like the conclusion of Road Warrior. It's like, let's just have like a 35-minute extended action sequence. But the funny thing I thought about that whole sequence was, it would be like a, this is the entirety of the sequence. So it's them running away on their bikes. Cut to them being pursued by the car. And then they make some sort of diversion, go down like where only a BMX bike could. And then you're like, oh, they lost them. But no, the next shot cut, and suddenly the car's behind them. Every time. Like, this happens every time. It's like like the action scene resets. They take some diversion.
Turning down, like, not bike roads, but they're like, we'll just cut over here to this other regular road.
Well, yeah, it's like they cut away, and you think they've made it, but then the car's somehow behind them again. It's just like, it's like the scene resets every 2 minutes.
I think about now, actually just talking through it, I'm guessing, like, if you were way in the BMX, it's almost like watching, like, you got skate videos back in the day? Like, you used to, like, buy those at, like, skate shops, like, skate videos of just, like, people skateboarding, you know? And I'm guessing it's something like that, you know? It's like, oh, shit, look what they're doing. But we should explain what...
upstairs.
What there's not much plot in this movie.
For the 10th time. Whoa!
There's not much plot, but I don't think many people have seen it. Should we run through a little bit of just what exactly this movie's about?
Well, you asked us, so Mike, why don't you explain? Or Mike, Jackie, which one?
Have
you
Jackie.
Guys
Let's
have
Jackie
plot?
Do it.
Yeah. So this very important film. I mean, like we said, it's a DCOM meets Heat, and opens with the like pretty serious heist of a bank with like I love that move of them running the van through the window and then just leaving it when their joyride gets there, and it goes pretty quickly after that over to the kids, right?
Yeah, I think it's like a kind of a, well, the kid, it kind of starts with the kids with like an awesome opening little title sequence, and then it kind of goes to I think the heist is happening with the kids kind of racing.
That's right. Yeah, you know? And then we go back to the kids, and geez, you know, if we had a BMX track, plus kids could really have some fun. I think that's when we meet Judy Nicole Kidman, who's the only character with like a human's name. Because the two boys that she, the two friends are what, PJ and
Goose.
And Goose.
Goose.
And then the two like goon squad henchmen that are chasing them the whole time are named Whitey and Mustache. And which are great names, but Judy is in my opinion, are like the heart of the film, because when we meet her, she is, you know, working at the grocery store or whatever, and she's getting harassed by Mr. Doofus Music himself, the fat kid. And she's trying to work an honest job to get some money to get a bike, but... you know, world's against her. I do like that when she meets BJ and Goose, they're like, yeah, our bikes got all fucked up, but it wasn't her fault. She's just you know, and then they're just friends after that.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy.
Well, she's quite the Sheila, if I must say.
God. Wait, stop.
Hold on. Yeah. I this completely flew over my head then. This is the first time the characters meet?
Yeah, or I don't know. Maybe,
or maybe, oh my God. God.
Maybe there was a line of dialogue about, like.
I think they just met. I think they didn't know each other.
Maybe they
talk about, like, things that are, like, getting to know each other, and they're like, oh, you fancy my mate because he's tall and handsome and. Looks good.
I feel like if they know each other, it's a like, oh, Queens. Yeah, I've seen
Maybe
you
it's a
over
Queens
at,
or
I've
something.
Seen you at school or something, but it's not, it didn't seem like they were like a tight friend group already. But then this, the happenstance and their bikes get fucked up and she gets fired, that they're like,
both,
I don't know, let's hang out, I guess.
Into BMX, and it seems like they were surprised that she was into BMX. I feel like if they had known each other very well. They
just don't know her that well.
It felt also just like a very casual 80s, like, well, you know, I'm not doing anything and you're not doing anything and we can just walk around for hours and our parents don't give a shit. So I guess we're friends now. I guess we're in a gang together.
Yeah, they're a little gang. Little threesome.
With the BMX bandits.
They immediately are like, well, I guess we got to go earn some money, all of us.
They all got to buy bikes because They messed up theirs and she needs a new one. She was just about to buy one with their job, I think.
So where do they decide to resort to?
What
do they decide to resort to in order to get this?
Their first
they become
move,
criminals!
Their first move is like, we're going to steal some like muscles off of buoys.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
And
they're stealing.
Sell them to seafood restaurants, I guess.
I forgot about that. They're muscles. That never came back around.
No, because they found something way cooler, contraband.
Yeah, they immediately find walkie-talkies, stolen walkie-talkies. They enter the world of heat.
The world of heat. Although, yeah, we're skipping over the scene in the bad guy, like,
lair.
Hangar, like, airplane hangar, wherever they are.
Where bad guys hang out.
Yeah, where they hang out, and
split up the loot from the bank robbery.
Yeah,
from the beginning of the movie.
The only
and that,
other
that character, by
character.
The way, who's the boss?
The boss
is his character's name is the boss.
<That's> his nice.
Yeah. What is it like that we see him just after that heist, and they're all like, "We're splitting 115,000, all of us. It's 15,000 each.
15 ways.
Something." And it's like, oh, it's like a. Good. That seems like you added up over the course of a year. That's a middle class income they're earning. But then he's like, I have a tip on this new thing involving, you know, the walkie talkies, where we're going to get.
They just need the walkie talkies.
Get 250K. Yeah. Yeah, but the walkie talkies are like essential to the. This is their. That's their big get that's going to let them pull off the heist. It's the MacGuffin or the.
Yeah.
The
Maltese
but it's
Falcon.
It kind of becomes, yeah, like. I. It's almost like too much, the walkie-talkies, I feel like. That should have just been like the start of like them getting involved with these crooks. But
there's
it ends up being the whole thing the whole time. And so I'm like, this is a walkie-talkie movie. I don't blame the shortwave thing beyond title.
It's actually more apt.
There are a lot of like moments of like where it's reminding you that the walkie-talkies are there. Like the movie will be going on and then all of a sudden it cuts to like, oh, this has actually been broadcasting to this whole time, the shortwave radio, and here's a nurse at her job listening in and like intently.
No, that's the police lady. She's just dressed like
she
a
is
nurse kind of
dressed
because
like a nurse,
it's the 80s.
Okay.
When they show her outfit with like, here's the lady cop's matching hat.
Yeah.
They'll cut over to that and she's just like, oh, these kids. and then the chief gets all like, listen up, children. You need to return these immediately.
This is a private channel or whatever.
It's a classic movie thing of like the non-characters. The moment towards like the end of the movie where the non-characters are gathering around listening to whatever the protagonist is like doing. Or like somehow there's some like it's being picked up what he's saying or some inspirational speech or like in this one where they're like when they're at the grave, right? And they're like,
well, when they're at the graveyard, it's like Judy and I want to say Goose is the one she's in the grave.
Yeah, because she's into PJ.
Yeah. It's a like friend zoning conversation, which is being broadcast to everyone.
I'm surprised Goose just didn't be like let Nicole Kidman leave and then just bury himself in that grave. Just like, you're at the PJ, yeah, all right. Well, I'll just sit here and die.
Her face after he goes in and kisses her is so good.
It was.
I think. But then she says, "I'm sorry," which I wish she didn't do.
She should have killed him.
Killed him.
She should have murdered him for both their sake. No, I was going to say, I'm not a huge fan in general of, here's the one girl, let's have a romance. But I felt like it was actually played kind of realistically of like, who do you like between me and my friend? She's just kind of like, I don't know, like neither, both, kind of PJ. I don't know. That's not really what I'm here for, but
she is kind
just
of like
hanging out.
Yeah, because it's not like she's like, no, Goose, I love
PJ. She doesn't
PJ.
Have like a
she's
crush.
Like, I don't
she's
really like,
like,
I don't
know.
Like you that way, but I guess PJ is hotter than you.
she tries to be diplomatic. She says like, you're both attractive in your own ways. You know.
Yeah. You and your dumpy,
you know,
little tiny,
PJ
small
is attractive
way.
In a physical sense, and well, you're just sort of a creep, I guess. And, you know, I guess that could be attractive as weird.
PJ, who is wearing hot pants for like the first half of the movie.
You know, some people say a garbage can is beautiful. Who's to say? There's a certain beauty in your.
Anyway, as I said, like, it's not my favorite kind of plot line, but I like how they did it.
She gets the biggest trophy at the end.
Exactly. I think it speaks to the talent that we will only see more of from the young Miss Kidman.
Yeah, Nicole, like, literally and figuratively, like, it's fitting that she ends this movie getting handed a gigantic trophy that no one else gets.
Yeah. You will have a career.
This is funny. Speaking of, I guess since we're talking about her, in the Chattopedia, there's only one sentence for the critical reception. And it says that when the film was released in the UK, The Guardian wrote, "There's a girl called Nicole Kidman that's rather good." And that's it.
That's it? Oh, my God.
Well, wow. You called it, Guardian. She is rather good.
Well, it's just funny, like, finding, like, seeing that in 1983, like, that girl's, like, really putting some effort into this cheesy kids 80s movie, you know? So,
well, long story short, they end up getting pursued by these two bumbling idiots who want the walkie talkies back
for the rest of the movie, basically.
Yeah. They need the walkie talkies in order to hear the police band, while they're, trying to pull this heist. So that they're one step ahead of the cops.
And
basically the kids find out about it. They tell all their BMX friends and they basically trap, they get these two guys and
important angle that we should mention is it kind of culminates where the cops, arrest them. Like they find out that the kids have the stolen walkie-talkies and there's like this pivotal scene where the kids, basically they're snitches and they say, "Oh, we didn't steal these. We know these are stolen from this like gang and we will help you arrest them." And that's how they, not only do they not get arrested, but the police officers are so kind to say, "We will give you the reward for their capture," which just so happens to be the amount they need to get the BMX track built in town. So the end of the movie is them, they're snitches and they help the cops arrest, the robbers.
Importantly, they are snitches.
And they get their money. They get their money to open up the BMX track, which is the end credits kind of sequence of the movie is they're enjoying the BMX track.
BMX.
And the best song ever plays.
Were you guys ever... had like a BMX bike like back in the day or anything like that?
I had a bike and I like really wanted it to be like a BMX bike, but I think my parents were like, "Well, we bought you a bicycle and we bought you a skateboard, Like, we're not going to get you another...
Choose one.
You have a perfectly fine bicycle. We're not going to get you, like, a special, you can twist the bars more bicycle. So, I always wanted one, but it was never something that...
Is that what a BMX bike is? You could just kind of, like, throw it around a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of designed for more, like, kind of like a... Kind of like if your mountain bike was, but it's more designed for kind of a... It's more simplistic sort of tricks and stuff, I suppose. And I forget that's called, like, a gyro is what you're talking about, Mike. Gyro. That you can spin it all the way around and such. There's, like, the names, like, Mongoose and Diamondback, to me, were just like, I forgot. I haven't heard those names for so long. Because I had a Diamondback bike, and it was probably, like, an old 80s bike. And it was, like, really shitty, and I got hurt on it a lot, but...
Well, that's because Ryan never suited up before he left.
I was not BMX. Suited up like Batman, like those guys are.
Did you not have a coordinated, color-coded outfit?
I didn't. This movie is colorful, and I saw that they're both red and blue, and I was like, man, they really going out with the red and blue. Even the police station is red and blue.
Well, and the bad guys are all in blue in the beginning, too.
And then I saw there's a few Pepsi logos in the background. I'm wondering if Pepsi had anything to do with that, because there's a lot of red and blue.
Well, it's weird because the first, 10, 15 minutes of this movie, literally there's just blue and red in every shot. Like, when they're at the store, you see, these, there's, a grocery store or a clothes store behind them, and it's just primarily blue and green blue and red clothes.
Wow.
And I'm just like, is this some sort of metaphor? Is it supposed to say, these guys, the good guys are red, the bad guys are blue? Like, what is this?
I did notice during the heist at the beginning at the bank, the bank teller ladies are all in those weird little red jumper outfits, and in my mind I was like, oh, that's weird that they've got a uniform, but maybe that was
color template for the movie.
I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, I'm not mad. It's cool.
No, I'm not mad either. I guess I was just trying to say, I was thinking to myself,
what are the themes here?
What are the themes here? Are they trying to say something with all of the blue and red? It was so apparent in the first 10, 15 minutes of this movie. I thought it was going to be a running theme, but at a certain point, that whole aesthetic just completely disappears, and it's just more in favor of crazy. And now we got yellow and blue and green and this and that and orange.
Yeah,
it's all over the place.
Because the first time we meet Nicole Kidman too, she's in the same kind of cut of dress as the red bank ladies or the blue lady cop, and she's in a little green dress or something, and then her color once they're all BMX suited up is yellow, right? She has mostly yellow,
and she has the pants yellow with the stars on them or something.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, what's the meaning of this?
It's like Power Rangers, you just got your different color.
Kids love bright colors.
I guess it's sort of, you're probably right about that. It's kind of like to point out who's who when they're doing tricks, and it's not really them. It's the stunt people.
That's true, yeah.
That's kind of probably has to do with it.
To track the
Brian, what do you mean it wasn't really them? It was stunt people.
Well, I hate to break it to you, Mike, but apparently they couldn't find a woman of Nicole's size to be the BMX
What
person.
About Nicole?
So it was actually an 18-year-old boy as her stunt double. With a wig on, with a curly 80s wig.
A fabulous wig.
I'm sorry, everyone. Sorry. I'm gonna have to go.
Too upset.
No, I'm kidding. After we watched this movie, we were digging around some more in the archives, and we did find Chad was able to locate some regional broadcasts in Australia around the time this movie came out, and it seemed like there was a lot of interviews with Nicole. And every one of them, the interviewers didn't understand that she was not doing the stunts. There was one you sent, one that we watched where the interviewer was the first question was so did you do the stunts in this? And she was like, oh, no, just all stunt people. And they were like, huh. So how was it doing the tricks?
I didn't do it.
I was on set while they were doing the tricks, but the stunt people were doing the tricks. So did you have to learn how to ride a bike, or did you already know how to do it?
Well, you see her. You do see her riding it a little bit, on the close ups and stuff, and
yeah,
kind of mid shots.
I mean, I'm sure she can ride a bike.
My God, I've seen the movie. It's pretty hot writing on that.
Yeah, sure.
Did you do any of that writing?
No.
We'll talk about it later. Now, tell me, do you do any of the stunt writing in this film?
No. I've got a stunt double.
Right.
Who's a boy.
Who's a boy?
Yeah.
Well, that's a bit of a difference.
He wears a wig.
Now, listen, tell me, had you done any riding with BMX bikes before this?
No, I'd never been on one.
So did you have to go through some training or something?
Yeah,
like
we did a week's training before the film started, yeah. Which is pretty hectic.
I noticed that madman, who's a friend of mine, David Argues, in the film.
Yes,
he's,
yes.
He's crazy, isn't he? Now, listen, with the stunts, there's some pretty hairy stunts in that. Did you go out, were you out on film all the time when they were doing these stunts?
Yeah, we were on the set the whole shoot, so we saw all the sort of stunts. And we also had to kind of ride the same as our stunt double so that you couldn't pick up between the two.
Right.
You know, sort of move the bike and...
Now, there's been a few accidents here today. Were there any accidents on the film itself?
There were a couple, I mean, but that was inevitable, you know, a few spills and everything. But otherwise, it was all right.
Now, a lot of people say, you know, you can do a lot of things with film and make it look as if it's happening when it's not. But it looks as if a lot of that riding is actual riding.
Oh, yeah, no, it is, yeah. Everything there has been done properly. There was no trick photography or anything.
Well, listen, best of luck with the movie.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of the day, and I think we'll have a look at some of the movie. Okay, BMX Bandits. Here it is.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily tricks. It's stunts. Yeah, it's more stunts than tricks, if that makes sense. Like, they're... Like,
yeah.
There's the only tricks you would do is more of the stuff that they're kind of doing, like you said, like...
Even the stunts, it's like...
Wheelies and bar spins
do
and stuff.
Yeah, that one bit from the opening where they're, like, riding it backwards for 2 seconds.
And the stunts aren't even things that you would think of as, like... It's not like they're, like, jumping through windows or, like, doing, like, launches through fire or anything. It's the kind of things where, like, of course it is stunt work, but it's not something that registers, like, oh, we're going to have someone, like, ride a bicycle at a really fast speed down these stairs, or, like, we're going to have someone ride a bicycle,
which
like, on a narrow
children.
Boardwalk.
They get some air at some point, you know, like, jumping over a car or, like, through a... There's a cool... I like... There's a really cool one where they kind of ride through a fountain... And it looks skim across the water a little bit.
That is the coolest part when
there are
they're
a
being
good.
Chased through like a mall. And the kids get to do like some cool bike stuff. And then the bad guys are literally just like, well, I'm going to drive my car through the mall.
Oh, that moment is so good. There's so many like parts in the chase sequence that I, again, this movie is so charming. Where it's like so predictable, but in a delight. Like, so that scene, it's like... So we're in the middle of a chase sequence. We have the BMX bandits riding their bikes, and then the dumb crime people coming in with
Harry and Marv, basically.
Right.
Whitey and Mustache, yes.
Right.
Wet bandits.
And
they do get wet at one point.
So in the middle of all this, you get this guy, like a blue collar like worker moving a precarious like clothes rack with all the clothes, just like sticking it in the middle of like an alleyway. And like, okay, well, I know where this is going. And the BMX just come and it like whips the clothes around and like, you know, he's like, whoa. And then of course the bad guys come by with the car, just like full on just barreling through, destroying it. This is a delightful little sequence.
Very good. I also really liked at the point when the bad guys are on foot and the kids are still riding bikes, they go through like an outdoor like restaurant area and the kids like kind of go through and someone's like, oh, like get out of here. And then the bad guys come through on foot and they like knock over like 6 tables and like all these dishes. And it's great. They're great goons.
Mm-hmm. Well, what if, can we talk about the goons a little bit in this movie? Blondie and Mustache. Like, I thought they had interesting little character bits. Like, for one thing, every time we see the two of them next to a vehicle, did you guys notice how Blondie is always standing up in said vehicle? Like, when they're in the boat in the beginning, he's just, like, doing all, he's standing up the whole time. And he's, like, dancing and stuff. And,
yeah,
and then
was.
Later in the car, like when they're in that warehouse chasing the kids, for some reason he's standing up, like he's got his torso outside the sunroof. He's just like, they're over there. It's just like, can he not just see them through the windshield? Like, why does he feel the need to stand up? It was a really weird choice.
I feel like they also have like a running bit with the car where it's like Mustache is like always pretending to like drive away or like almost hit the other guy.
Yeah. Well, is he the one that doesn't know how to drive?
Blondie's the one that doesn't know how to drive.
I mean, you're not wrong with the standing up thing, but it's also like it's the guy who did Mad Max, Dave. You know, maybe he couldn't help it. Maybe he was just like, stand up. I have to have someone standing out of the vehicle.
I guess.
Witness me.
Well, no, like, as I said, John Seale wouldn't go on to shoot Mad Max. He would do Mad Max Fury Road. He didn't do the earlier ones.
Right, right. But still, you know.
I mean, they are Australian, after all.
They are Australian. I think, speaking of the Mad Max of it all, even though it is, you know, like 30 years removed still, I think that's why the, like, standing up out of the sunroof thing feels so weird. Because, yeah, like, in another movie, in, you know, other movies, it's like, he would be pulling out, like, a gun to shoot the children.
Yeah. but he's very against killing them. Blondie specifically is like, I don't want to kill him, man. You know?
Yeah, he was like,
let's just pretend to be cops and get it out of him.
Yeah, there's like a line. It's like, yeah, kill kids.
But then, like, Mustache, when they're interrogating Judy, is like, let me just get this rusty, like, fish hook and I'll... it's fine. Just let me gut this.
Just let me cut her a little, all right?
So I don't know. Do they want to kill kids? Do they not?
Look, we just want to hit them with our car a little bit, all right?
Just a little.
Just tap them with the car.
you're verging into to Boston.
There's a good joke.
You just
want to
pack the car on these kids.
Just want to buzz them a little bit with that thing.
just clip them.
Clip them. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Just buzz them.
Just let them know we're there.
There's a little joke with them where, and just surprising to hear that in the 80s for some reason, where I think it's in the graveyard, and I think it's Goose or something says something along the lines of like, maybe they're just like a couple Mormons that want to convert us or something.
I thought that.
You know,
might,
they always ride
out
in pairs.
When we were watching the movie, I was like, I saw your ears literally perk up, Ryan.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, that's funny.
Yeah, like what's the Mormon population in Australia look like?
Right.
Now I want to know.
In 1983.
In the 80s, like what's going on?
Well, we all know in, you know, the Great Mormon Wars that happened here in our time.
There were Mormon Wars? I don't know if I know about these ones that happened. I don't know if I've told this on the show before, but I was accidentally in cryo stasis for a few years. So some things are a little like I just missed.
Yeah. Yeah. It was brutal. It was brutal out there.
I'm glad we made it. Hey, do we know if this store is in what used to be Australia? Because we're not really sure where we're at right now.
Oh, yeah,
right?
We might not
just
even
Sector
be in America.
2.
I don't know.
Who knows? I mean, after the war, I mean, this might be some sort of weird Pangea now. I don't know what happened.
Oh, yeah, Pangea reformed. it
went the other way. It's like reverse Pangea.
Reverse Pangea.
Yeah.
And snap.
Yeah. And pay up. Yeah.
Well, there's one thing I want to address. I want to make sure we don't miss this because I feel like this is sort of a standard thing with kids movies, especially of the 80s and 90s. There's always like there's usually a scene where like a chase happens and by some misunderstanding you have like a weird, almost out of place sexual moment. And it's right at the beginning of the movie. Like, the heist is happening. The kids are just kind of doing their thing on their bikes. PJ and Goose just running around doing tricks. And they don't get pursued by the car. Basically, like, they kind of have a brief run-in with the bandits after they have their first robbery. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things. Like, get out of the way, you stupid kids. And they end up riding into the plaza. And they, like, barrel through like I guess like a mannequin or something and the mannequin gets caught on their bike and it like flies out and like lands on this priest So the priest, and it lands in such a way priest's head is positioned right between the legs of the mannequin.
Very suggestive.
And it's this weird,
It looks like something from Borat.
Like the moment before that, though, it also, the mannequin is involved with the other, like out of place, weird kind of sexual moment of like the busty lady is like leaning down to get her bag and the guy on the bench next to her is kind of looking at her. Ooh. But then when the mannequin goes past, the hand like hits her on the ass and then she turns, she's like slaps, how dare you? And then, the mannequin
goes. It wasn't me, it's the mannequin.
Right between the, you know, right in the crotch and the face.
It's something for the parents, you know, something for the... Something for the parents that have to take their kids to see this.
They're like, I need to see this lady's cleavage if I'm gonna.
That's what I mean. It's like it's,
I need to see a priest interact with the mannequin in a suggestive manner.
Yeah, it kind of gets into like it was. I was kind of as we were watching this, I was kind of jotting down some notes of like. Because it became quickly apparent to me that this was like a kid's movie. And I kind of was writing down some of the tropes that kind of come to mind for me for kid's movies. This is one of them. Like, inappropriate sexual moments. And it's like, who is this for? You say it's for the adults. I'm just like, for the creepy adults? You know? It's like, what? Like, it was crazy.
Brothers.
I guess.
Normally, when you say like when you're talking about a kids movie and you're like, "Oh, there's jokes in there for the adults," it's like my go-to that I think of is like The Incredibles, where you have a movie for kids, but there's like the moments where like the dad is like fitting back into his old suit and he's like too fat to fit in. Like that's a joke that like a grown person would be.
No,
like,
but a kid would think that's funny though too.
Yeah, but it's a different type of laugh for an adult. Like there's a different type of a different thing, but it's not necessarily like, oh, look at the adult themes in this kid's movie. I guess that I think that is a little unusual.
Well, I don't know. I just watched in the store Airplane, and that Spirited PG came out in 1980.
That's right. That's
not for kids in the way that BMX Bandits is for kids.
But it's PG.
Yeah. Same rating.
But they don't give a shit if a kid watches it.
There's blowjob jokes in Airplane.
Go ahead, watch.
You ever seen
all
a grown man naked?
How does that
you like Gladiator movies? I don't know. I guess I missed that stuff. But.
Does Airplane hold up well?
Oh, yeah, it invented comedy.
Wow.
Well, I mentioned tropes. Like, there was a few other tropes, like, specifically kids' movies tropes that I mentioned. And the next one I have kind of goes back to the bumbling bad guys. And the fact that, you see this happen in so many kids' movies, the fact that the bad guys seem to just be, for whatever reason, incapacitated by falling into water. It's like, fall into water, they're like, whoa! It's like, how do I get out of here?
Oh, speaking of that.
There's
actually a pretty good bit where Nicole gets in like a little paddle boat and she's like, gotta get in the way, suckers! And she's like paddling away and then she realizes she's tied to the dock, but it's kind of funny just the angle because it sits on that for a second, like a little like an extra beat of her just like realizing that the rope
it takes
is
like
tied.
The goons a minute to realize it too.
Yeah.
They're like,
yeah, it's just kind of funny. It's really like it's just like just the way that they have it shot like that. There's also like another thing like where it seemed weird. It's when they're I think they're in the grave. And there's a point where the kid says like a line and then blows out like a flame and they make him and he does it twice. It's like didn't work the first time. And then they just kind of look at each other. There's like a beat and then he goes, does it a second time. And they like kept it in. Like they like realized like, oh, that's kind of funny to keep that in. Like they hit the on that take where he screwed it up.
Dave, if you were talking about the being incapacitated in the water, and I think it's not quite that, but at the end with the bubbles, that's pretty good. I mean, as far as like things that would not be an impediment in real life, completely like stopping the action or stopping the criminals.
Well, and
like,
talk about out of left field, like some, and there's like a surprising amount of setup for this foam fertilizer bit. It's like, as, you know, they're coming, you know, they're like, whoa, like PJ and Goose are on top of the van or truck as the bad guy's trying to like, you know, weave them off. And it keeps cutting to these, like, this experiment happening where these people have, like, this little plot of land. They're like, hey, let's try this foam fertilizer and see what it's all about. You know, and they're taking readings and stuff. It cuts back to them a few times. It's almost like, it's almost as if they may as well have just been setting up a gag where, like, a couple of guys are walking across the road with, like, a plate glass window or something. Yes. Or like a fruit stand of vegetables or fruit.
There's
just, like,
a kid
walking
just
across.
Keep dropping banana peels.
It's great. It's so telegraphed.
Get to the foam fertilizer.
It is so telegraphed. It's like it's like they're one step away from like cutting to like a laboratory where like we have invented the most fragile substance known to man.
And if it interacts with flour, we're all dead. So don't get any flour into the foam.
Yeah, flour. That's all you need to stop criminals.
The the whole end of it, their plot of getting together the BMX kids and like throwing flour is just so lo-fi and sweet, and there's clearly like 7-year-olds on their bikes with baskets, and it's I remember right at the end, I think before the big like foam explosion kind of happens, I was putting down in my notes like, this feels like a movie that was engineered for Nickelodeon, which I appreciate. And then it ends with foam and or slime.
So would you say, being made in 1983, Jackie, that this movie was ahead of its time?
You know, I think it's kind of a trailblazer.
It did kind of predict the slime era.
Yeah, I mean, this is around that time. I think, like, this is kind of when Nickelodeon was starting to pop off, I think, like right after this. So this could have went well on that channel, I think.
Go ahead.
I think one of the most unintentional bits of comedy in this movie is at the end when their truck is driving off. It's after the entire BMX community of Sydney has come and descended upon this van of like 5 criminals. There's
mostly
a shot that's
under
the truck
12.
Yes. There's a shot where the truck is pulling away and you just see a bag of flour fly in from out of frame and hit the side of the truck. Like worthlessly just bounce off, and it's just, to me, it was one of the best moments of unintentional comedy.
I'm just like picturing the like all these little kids like going into the pantry and like taking the flour. it's so good.
right before that's this moment, Nicole gets like kind of kidnapped and is kind of like blabbing at him. It's kind of goofy, but she has a line that I wrote down. I think it's one of my favorite lines in the movie. It's, she says, quote, "Your little walkie-talkies have gone walkies."
Yeah.
That was an excellent.
Isn't that in the trailer?
Oh, maybe it is.
I think it is.
You actually, I'm glad you brought up the walkie-talkies, Ryan, because that leads me to a question I had involving the plot, and it didn't make any sense to me. So the whole bit with the walkie-talkies is the villains plan to use these walkie-talkies so that they can, because basically the walkie-talkies are specifically tuned into like the police wavelength or whatever, so they can hear the cops as they're going to
pull this heist.
These
are like intense walkie-talkies. These are like the
like police
heavy
scanners.
They're from America.
Are they? Did they say
they're from the
America?
United States. They specifically point that out. It's like they're cutting edge. They're from America. But what I don't understand
I bet
this
is all a CIA plot.
what I don't understand is, so their plan is like the guy, the whole plan is boiled down in like 5 seconds. The boss, like, he has these two little toys, these sort of little micro machines. One's a truck, one's a van. He's like, we're gonna be in the truck, the loot's gonna be in the van, and we're gonna like pull up, we're gonna, you know, ride the van into the back of the truck. And that's it. And we're going to use these walkie-talkies. But what I don't understand is, it's like it's shown that there's only like 5 of them or so. So why do each of them need a walkie-talkie? Theoretically, you would only need 2 walkie-talkies, one guy in each truck. So why is it so imperative that they have this like vat of like 15 or 20 stolen walkie-talkies? There's only a 5 or 6 people on this crew.
I had the same concern as you, Dave. And I thought I had the answer. But then as the movie went on, it was really obvious I was wrong. So
I thought... It seems like they could have done the whole thing with one walkie-talkie, well, which the boss already had.
Was that when you first discover the walkie-talkies, it's so many, I thought, oh, they stole the police's walkie-talkies so that they can't communicate with each other once this goes down. Like, they're not going to be able to, like, radio for help or anything. But they establish really quickly after that no, they have all their walkie-talkies. This is not impacting the police.
It's a walkie-talkie
ability.
Movie more than a BMX movie. They love it.
It's a movie called Shortwave.
Yeah.
I love how they even take the walkie-talkie so far as to, like, poke one of the bad guys in the eye with one of them. In the cemetery.
It's a lot. Like, they... I figured maybe that was going to be the inciting incident or something, the walkie-talkies, and then... Like, the scene of them at the police station... kind of felt like it was late in the game, like when they kind of get caught finally.
Yeah.
And it feels like that would have been like they do the walkie-talkies, they get chased, and then something happens where they go to the police, and then the police don't believe them and they need to do it themselves. But instead there's kind of like just them kind of dicking around with walkie-talkies
their plot of like time to sell some walkie-talkies.
Yeah, that's a weird plot, is to sell the walkie-talkies.
Yeah.
Like, what kids are going to buy? But then I was thinking about it, and I was like, you know what? As a kid, especially probably in the 80s, walkie-talkies were the shit. It's the coolest thing you could possibly have.
Like, and it would be cool to have a cool space, like, you know, cutting-edge walkie-talkie like this, but what kid is walking around with $35 in the 80s?
Yeah,
like, that
right?
to me was unbelievable.
Well, that's 35 Australian. What is that in America?
It's like, you know,
that could, probably like,
oh, like 50 cents or something.
Dollars.
Is that what you're saying? it's like, so we sold these for like $10 in American money.
It's more than that. I looked this up because I was curious what $250,000 each would have worked out to in Australian dollars and accounting for inflation. And I think it was like still more than $250,000 would have been in, you know, the last time I remember, which was 2020. So, yeah, I mean, obviously dollars, you know, we have no standard currency anymore, so it's kind of a difficult concept to remember, but
that's a lot of cheesy gordita crunches, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's at least a few combo meals. I think it's more than just a regular cheesy gordita crunch. I think you'd also have to factor in a live wire and some nacho side. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot of money.
I think the just especially that it's, you know, it's 1983 is obviously pre cell phones in a major way, in that like kids would have them. That like
it was only cocaine executives,
exactly, and they were that size as the walkie talkies in the film. So like 2 pounds. 2 to 4 pounds of equipment. And like, yeah, you'd think that was cool shit. And, you know, it made me reflect on, you know, the ease of technology that we did once have that was still so far away in 1983.
Yeah. So I was thinking about, I'm like, you know what? You would work hard for these walkie-talkies, you know, if you were a kid and wanted to have them. So maybe it does make sense, but it is a little, I feel like I was like ready about halfway through. I'm like, let's get over these damn walkie-talkies. You know?
So well, the funny a short thing wave.
The funny thing about it is they're selling one walkie-talkie each to people. So it's like, you need someone else with a walkie-talkie to talk to. So that was what they got, that was unusual. Like, who's the fat kid talking to exactly?
Well, you just tune into, you know.
Just put your voice out there.
Yeah, you're like
Breaker. I just stopped at the ice cream stand and I bought a couple of cones. Does anyone want to come over and share with me? That was a missed opportunity, I thought. That was a missed opportunity. There was a whole thing where I thought the fat kid was going to come back at some point after that chase sequence ended, because he
and
chases
by the way,
them for
I think
a while.
He's credited as fat kid in the credits. So.
Yes, as I say that, I am literally just saying that is his character's name. I'm not trying to belittle him. That is literally his name in the movie.
Dave, I don't think you have to worry about like belittling this kid, like because. His parents,
he's dead now.
Like, well besides that, I mean, this movie is just his role in it is to be belittled.
Yeah.
Like, I imagine there was just some waiver they signed off. Like, do you approve of us just making a complete...
So your
character's role... Oh,
you're thinking too much of them in the 80s in movie-making movies.
They called him Fat Kid to his face, and...
That was on the call sheet.
This is just some guy chomping a cigar like, hey, we need a fat kid. You got
mean,
a fat kid.
Just, the doofus
can we get Fat
music.
Kid on set? That's what they were just doing.
Where's Fat Kid?
We're shooting the ice cream scene. Where's the fatty?
I wrote it down, but I can't find it now. Of the closed captioning when for the kid the doofus music, which they had like a lot of really interesting closed captioning describing like the music in general.
Oh, I had that written down too.
Yeah,
I had that written down.
It was really specific.
It was in it, right in the scene before he drops his ice cream and he falls on it on his butt. where it describes the music as what was it like? It was like laid back, unassuming, like jazz or something.
Yeah, I have it written down. Moves into suspenseful electro pop music.
Yeah, yeah. Like cool synth plays.
It's great. I'm all about that. This movie soundtrack is one of my favorite types of movie soundtracks, which is just a person. I imagine a person watching this movie in their basement with like a cigarette. And like a Casio keyboard.
Yes.
Yeah, and like,
oh, dude. When the movie started, I thought we were watching an episode of Miami Vice or something.
So good.
No, they probably look like the John Mulaney on Seth Meyers with the glasses in the trench coat. The guy that's doing this, the soundtrack.
Just the cigarette in mouth, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, and it's so funny the left turn it takes when the what we're calling him, the fat kid, when he comes on, because
that's
it is,
his name.
It's all just like do do do, and then he comes on. It's like,
what about my ice cream?
You owe me 2 ice creams.
I had to sell my walkie-talkie to buy them ice creams.
He's always wearing like overalls too. It's just so like. Oh, it's
well, here's
mean,
the funny thing about this. At least I mean, I know he's credited as Fat Kid, but to me, as a like you know overweight person, he didn't strike me as someone who was like the traditional like that guy is so fat. Like he did to me, he didn't seem that fat. I don't know. I'm sorry.
He was just kind of a chubby kid. The worst
chubby,
part of it was.
Yeah.
Was when we first meet him, and he's just being a dick for no reason to Nicole Kidman.
Oh, that's right. Is he the one?
He's just a troublemaking
preteen.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. I don't love the fat jokes. I think he's just kind of a jerk. If anything, he's just out there like harassing her.
Yeah.
And it gets back to what I was getting at earlier, where I was just like, I thought his character was going to be a bit of a bigger thing in the movie, like a low level like threat or obstacle.
I thought it was
going to
be like a Spider-Man Homecoming situation where it's like he's at home with the walkie talkie, maybe doing
the. Yeah, he becomes part of the team.
The bulk work.
Part of the gang.
I was expecting him to take a more like operations role, like a more strong.
He's in there though. He's in the group.
He's in it.
At the
yeah,
end.
He's there at the final mish, but like
he's certainly.
So
by
are
no
a
means,
bunch of
like,
8-year-olds. So
yeah, it was more effective about the numbers than who was involved there.
But yeah, no, I was expecting him to come back around in a like in a more major way, or like, oh no, they got Judy. We gotta. I'm on your side now. I'm sorry I got you fired 40 minutes ago. And then he just doesn't. He's just kind of there.
Well, yeah, he's just there at the end with the BMX community. Like, nothing happened. Like, they didn't just fucking, like, wreck his, steal his ice cream and just
like
throw him on the
ground. They
didn't
steal 2 ice creams from him.
Two ice creams.
Which, again, maybe is the more, they were going for realism. He would just kind of be there.
I don't know.
Or maybe he wasn't buying that other ice cream for himself. Maybe he had met someone over the walkie-talkie shortwave, and he was getting that other ice cream for them.
This is my BMX Bandits fan fiction.
This is like the BMX
he
Bandits
he's like, I need
Kranz
to stop being
Gildens.
Such a dick.
He's like, you know what? I need to stop taking out my aggression on others. I had no reason to bother Nicole Kidman like that. I need to be more open and communicative with my feelings.
Or yeah, maybe he bought that other ice cream for Nicole Kidman. He was going to bring it down to her and be like, hey, I'm sorry about it, Elliot. That was misstep.
I love this take. I believe he was eating from both ice creams on camera.
I think we actively see him eating, like greedily chomping.
I guess I just tried to retcon BMX Bandits, make it a little more woke, okay?
Yes,
sorry.
Exactly. I like it.
This is a 1983 kids movie.
I'm trying to adjust the movie to
way.
Our times.
There'll be a quiet, sober moment of Fat Kid being like, I can't, I don't want to be like this, you know?
Well, do you guys have any other notes? I mean, I just really wanted to address that whole weirdness with the sexual misunderstandings. That just blew my mind. And also, it's fun. One thing, I didn't really pick up on this, but the priest comes back. And later in the movie, when the bad guys are chasing him through that plaza, the priest comes back, and he has, like, some sort of stand. And I missed it. Maybe you guys caught it, but the blondie guy talks to him. He's like, you shouldn't even be selling these anyway, or something like that. Did you guys catch what he was
saying? Yeah, I do remember that, like,
I didn't catch
my memory's
that
a little hazy because, you know, at this point of the Imperator election, it was getting tense.
Well, that's another thing I'd like to, just a quick aside. Like, I think they should do a recount of the corpses. I'm not sure that Wharton-Tough had the highest amount of corpses to his credit. I think they might need to do a recount.
Dave, we're going to have a talk after the show. But I do remember at the end of the movie that the priest came back and that someone was like reacting to him as if like, hey, pervy priest, I know what you did.
I saw you.
I saw that with the mannequin.
You fucking sicko. I didn't catch any of that. I did want to say my most important note on the film, I feel like is the most lasting legacy of it all is Nicole Kidman's fluffy hair and sub note, yeah, when she puts the helmet on her fluffy hair. It's very adorable.
They're
important.
It's quite the visual. And it works great. It looks good on that boy too.
Yeah,
that,
the wig they got, it works.
Yeah, I never questioned it. I was never like, that ain't Nicole Kidman.
There was never moment.
I mean, I knew it wasn't, but it's not like, I don't think it really drew attention to itself, the stuntman.
I think that's the only thing I knew going into the movie for some reason, that Nicole Kidman was in this BMX movie and a boy plays her as a stunt double.
I think I knew, yeah, that she was in it, and again, that her hair is very fluffy in it.
It's cool.
It's just such a good look.
My only two notes were, one, just little tiny things. There's a moment, it's before they find the walkie-talkies. They're like, they're in kind of a boating dock area, probably in the Sydney Harbor or something. And the crooks that end up chasing them are racing around in this little speedboat. And there's like a Bigfoot painted on the front of the boat.
Yeah, what was up with that?
Yeah.
And they're flying around so fast. I'm like, that looks dangerous. That little tiny boat that they're flying around.
And again, that fucking blondie guy is standing up the whole time and like, you know, flailing his limbs like,
That
don't perform these stunts at home.
Already, I think Dave, you mentioned like the beginning with the crooks feels very like Miami Vice, and that scene was like, so here we are in our little cigarette boat, and we're definitely doing a ton of coke. It's off screen, but like, it's happening. You see this boat? Of course we are. And like, they're on their own, they're in their own little Miami Vice world, and then they end up in BMX Bandits.
It's important to note this movie, I think, predates Miami Vice.
Is Miami Vice 85?
It's a little later,
I remember that my older brother, who was born in 85, my mom has the memory of like going into labor and then waiting a long time in the hospital and just watching Miami Vice.
That's cool. My last little note, and I had to look it up because I couldn't remember the name, but one of the production companies or distributors was that I think it's called the Rank Organization, which is like basically that gong player that Christmas hits the
oh,
gong.
Oh, yes. In the very beginning.
Which I've always associated with like 40s really classy movies and things like that. But it was just like surprising to see that on there.
When that it's started, on, like, the, I, yeah.
Because that's on like Black Narcissist, for instance.
That's what it was that. From. Yes, I knew it looked familiar.
So, yeah, same production company, whatever. So.
Wow.
It's weird because it got me thinking. You don't necessarily think about that. It's like if this movie had like the Fox logo or the Paramount or Universal logo, you wouldn't necessarily think like, oh, I'm watching a prestigious feature here. But when you see this opening studio logo or whatever production logo of this like ripped
bronze like, man,
like Janus Films.
Yes, yeah. And he like dong, you know, it's a gong. Like, yeah, it's just like, what am I about to watch here? I
think it's whoa. Just, it's a British distributing company. I think that's what it is. So it's sense. Just like, okay. It happens. And I think that's just funny because I was like, I've seen this before. What is that? And I'm like, oh, it's like Black Narcissist and the red shoes. And it's on all those those
type of it things. Gives this movie some weird class that I wasn't expecting.
It's like it's like the movie equivalent of like starting a play with like the drawing of velvet curtains or something.
Well, no, yes, something here.
It opens up to BS.
It was almost to the degree where I was like, oh, I should have dressed up before I sat down to watch this movie. Oh.
Yeah, and then it's just like has that cool. This is something we should have said in the beginning, but when BMX Bandits comes up and it has like the little glare. Oh, we didn't even talk about that. All
we didn't
the,
talk about the
every there time someone's
so many whooshes.
Every
so many whooshes and
again,
zooms.
Just someone with the synthesizer. Someone's just watching this movie,
just like, jamming on the whoosh button.
Not even. It's like every time the bike flies by the camera. You should just put those in throughout the move that podcast. You know when you put it out there, just
yeah, just randomly, just riding around.
They're moving. You can't tell, but they are.
Yeah, yeah. So just like there's little things with this that makes it just like pop, and then it ends on that awesome song with the montage of them at the track they finally got, and Nicole gets the biggest trophy.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost a disservice, actually, because this all happens while the credits are rolling over this.
Exactly.
It's almost just like, oh man, you didn't get the triumphant moment of them cutting the ribbon on the newly opened BMX track. It's like, nah, fuck it, we're just doing it over the credits. No time.
They only had like an hour at the BMX track to film. They're like, we can't get any audio. Don't even fucking bother. We got to just do this.
Yeah, because
like,
it
no
literally.
Moment, like, yeah, there's no moment like, where it's just like, you know, it's because it shows each of them win. Like, PJ wins third place, Goose wins second, and Judy wins first. There's no interplay between them, like, oh, I knew you were the best. Oh, thank you. You know, it's none of that. It's just like, it's just, we see this happening with no dialogue as the credits are rolling.
The credits rolling are pretty brutal. It's kind of like. That is a feeling of like, did you just like give up like putting this part together?
Yeah, it's that is. It would have been nice to see it. You're right. It needed like that little capper at the end. It doesn't even have that. You know, it kind of just like they're in the foam and then it's a smash cut to the track and it's
no
over,
credits.
You know?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Come to think of it, does that mean that technically the last line from our heroes is the walkie talkies have walkied or something? Is that what the last line would be?
Looks like your walkie-talkies have walkie.
Have gone walkie.
Gone walkie. That's what it is.
Because what else do they say after that? I don't know if they say anything. Our main heroes.
There's like, I think right, well, I don't even know if that might be after. I don't know. I think this is like right before they get into like the truck or whatever, before they get a bunch of foam everywhere. They're like, where the kids all show up and they get pelted with flour. And then they like grab Judy again and they're like, anyway, we're still gonna kidnap. And like then that's when they drive away and hit the foam and whatnot. And I feel like, I don't know, there's some bullshit dialogue of like, ah, hey, ah, let go of me. And then we're done.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's essentially the last line of this movie. Oh, hi, let go of me. There's no triumphant moment. It's just like it immediately cuts to the BMX park, and it's just, You don't get that moment where they all, it should have been them like embracing each other. Oh, we got the track. And we all
won. I
know, won,
I was
like,
really
first, second,
expecting even just so like, PJ and Goose and Judy to like high five or something. And then that didn't even happen.
This Maybe movie, she walks off with another guy or something.
Yeah, she's like, oh, my boyfriend's here. Did I not mention I've had a boyfriend.
It's like, if this movie had been made in America, I think, maybe Australia just hadn't caught on to this trend yet, but if this movie had been made in America in the 80s, it would have ended with a freeze frame. You bet your ass it would have.
100%. It would have been a freeze frame of them, like, cheering with the trophies.
High-fiving, or, yeah, lifting the trophies in the air, like,
Yeah.
And that's what the credits would run.
That's
over.
When
the
no,
credits
that's
would run over the
you wouldn't even frame. Have the credits then. You the next shot would be the like that would be the more where it's like, do not attempt any of the stunts that were shown in this film.
That ends on a somber note.
They didn't care about that in the '80s, other than the interviewers. The only thing we didn't mention is when they do finally after they sell some talkies. And they go and they buy their bikes and they have all their gear. They all have BMX Bandit shirts on.
Yeah.
When
and where?
It's like
the
logo
the
from
shirts?
The movie. And I kind of think that's really.
They never address it.
They never address it. I'm like, this is not our new. I guess it's their new team, I suppose.
Their gang
like
that, or something?
That's
their biker
gang. But they never talk about it.
Yeah, it's a gang.
Because
they just
want
to sell
some
shirts.
No, movie, like, yeah, we're the BMX Bandits.
I remember that too, because it goes from the like the long cemetery scene to like them escaping that, to then just like the next morning, they're like, anyway, we got our cool gear, and it's like Nicole Kidman walks out wearing a BMX shirt, and yeah, there's no kind of
that's
thing
when she's
about,
like, Judy, do your stuff.
And then, no, yeah, nothing about like, and that's why we are now the BMX Bandits.
yeah, but I did want one of those shirts.
Imagine if like there's a scene when Fat Kid is like, can I be in your bandits team? And then he gets denied, but then later in the movie he saves them somehow,
and they're
and
like,
then
you
he becomes
are a bandit.
Honorary member. God,
I think we should remake this movie.
We should.
Yeah.
Give Fat Kid a more humanized role.
I just hope we can find an 18-year-old boy to be my stunt double.
For my stunt double? Is that what you're saying?
For all of our stunt doubles.
I would
well,
like
for
to be
your
played
stunt double,
by
Ryan,
Nicole
we'll have
Kidman
to use special effects for the head.
Yeah, you won't be able to find someone to fit with a helmet. You won't be able to.
We'll use CG for that.
CG for the helmet. Yeah. It'll cost as much as Superman's mustache.
This whole movie did.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know. It's not insanely great, but I feel like it would have been a fun one to watch as a kid where you're like all into the kid, how they're riding around. There's a lot of that, especially for the last half.
I could see myself like if I had seen this as a kid being really nostalgic about this movie and being like, oh yeah, BMX
I think so
Bandits
too.
Is the best.
Well, it's funny you say that because you remember the band Wheatus? Like they did.
I
know where you're going with this, Ryan.
They did a song called BMX Bandits and in the course of the song it's like
reference Nicole Kidman.
I love
yeah
Nicole
it's like hey Nicole
Kidman.
It's like hey Nicole is like the hook of the song or something.
Wow.
Hey Nicole or something like that. And I didn't know, I mean, I remember, look, I only knew them of that one song, Teenage Dirtbag, but they must have had other songs.
I guess so. And I've never heard of this.
And, yeah, there's, like, a Scottish indie rock band called BMX Bandits. There was a show called Mitchell and Hobb Look parodied the film. So I bet in, like, England, like, Australian, like, this is one of those movies that people are nostalgic about. You know?
I could see it being, like, in a way that, you know, someone might love Brink.
Well, but exactly. Even with, like, there's the added thing of, like, a major movie star happened to be in this.
Yeah, and that's always fun.
Yeah.
Like it's always cool to see someone who, like, and Nicole Kidman is, like, a great actor, and it's cool to see someone like that in a movie like this so young. I don't know, it's like seeing, like, Daniel Day-Lewis in, like, a early skateboarding movie or something.
Gotta find that one.
What's her name in Batman Forever, David?
Dr. Chase Meridian.
Jason, yeah, there it is. Yeah. I knew it was a good one.
Excellent. Excellent. Doctor.
Because that would have been when I first saw her, I'm sure.
Same here, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but I think she's, you know, for what this movie is, I think she does a good job. In fact, I think for what this movie is, everyone does a good job. Like, yeah. There's no one in this movie where I'd be like, oof, that was a pretty bad performance. I think everyone's on par with what this movie's doing.
Yeah, I really liked PJ and Goose, even. I feel like they had a really fun, like, kind of deadpan, teenagery, like, just very, it felt authentic, but still goofy.
Good goons.
I
bet
goon
Edgar
energy.
Wright liked this movie as a kid because it feels like like Baby Driver a little bit. Like
I definitely was getting some Baby Driver vibes.
I bet he liked this movie. And just like the way it's edited and everything too, because it's well made. Even though like it goes on for a little long, it's at least well shot and there's sequences that are well edited. So.
Australia looks good in this. Looks cool. Like it was some
John
good
Cena,
just like
man,
movie
he would go
tourism.
On to have a great career.
Yeah, really good locations for this kind of movie. I don't know.
It definitely made me want to just be on a beautiful Australian, like, boardwalk.
It made me miss water.
Yeah. But it sounds like recommends all around. I would recommend this movie. It's a fun little rental, I think.
I think if you're into that kind of thing, I think it's a good way to put it, is that it's sort of a Heat meets a DCOM. Or Brink, I suppose, you know?
I'd say it's a good recommendation. And, like, I imagine if you had a kid between the ages of, like, 4 and 12, it's, like, a strong recommendation.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Or if you have a kid who loves prestige actresses and wants to look at their filmography.
Or if you have a kid who's got a budding interest in shortwave or CB radio.
Yeah.
Or Dr. Chase Meridian.
If you are Dr. Chase Meridian, you'd probably really like this movie.
So, do you have a first name, or do we just call you Goose? That was a Batman Forever reference. Sorry. Yeah. I tweaked it a little.
That's me and David's biggest thing with Nicole Kidman is Batman Forever.
Dr. Chase Meridian.
Dr. Chase.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I may have had like a sexual awakening as a young boy watching Dr. Chase Meridian in Batman Forever.
I thought you were
going to
say BMX Bane. No.
This is the first time I've seen BMX really Bandits. I have seen Batman Forever several times, especially as a kid.
Have you guys ever seen her on the Fallon talking about like them meeting and she liking him?
Yes. Like, was this like a almost date kind of thing?
Yeah, or where he thought that they were meeting about like Bewitched, and it's like this whole thing of like she was like reveals on the show that she liked him at the time. And he was like playing
Fallon?
Video games in his apartment. You got to watch it. It's pretty, it seems genuine. Who knows? Because it's one of those, it's a late night talk show story, but it seems like a genuine moment.
But the story is basically like, it was at the time when Jimmy Fallon was, it's easy to forget, there was a brief window in time where he was like the coolest, hottest thing. It was like a summer in 2002, I think.
I guess so.
She.
And Nicole Kidman does famously have some maybe poor tasted men.
Well, it's not. Yeah, I'm gonna think about that too much. But so she asked her, like they were basically
mutual
gonna
friend.
Hang out, and she was gonna come over to his place, and she thought it was a date, and he thought it was like not a date.
Oh,
and
man.
So she came over, and he's like on his couch playing video games. And
heartbreaking.
Oh man, can you imagine Jimmy Fallon? I just imagine Jimmy Fallon just like, oh, hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm Jimmy Fallon. Hey, Nicole. Hey, I'm a big fan. Hey, you want to help me play some video games? Hey, yeah. Just Jimmy. I'm sorry, but Jimmy Fallon to me is so goddamn irritating. I have never been a fan of Jimmy Fallon. I don't want to say I take glee in people's misfortunes, but when the Tonight Show started to tank in the ratings back in the day, I wasn't not mad. You know, I never cared for his Tonight Show. I never cared for him. He always broke on Saturday Night Live. He's not a professional. Yeah. What is he doing in this business? I don't know who I'm pointing at right now. I'm pointing out into the ether.
Point
but
it.
I was never a fan of Jimmy Fallon. Just saying.
I
love him.
I don't disagree with you. It just, that story in particular does make me sad about the world and about the many, many super hot women who have been like, yeah, I could, he's cute. And it's like, him?
I Jimmy could date Fallon? Jimmy Fallon.
What is Nicole Kidman thinking? She could get with Bruce Wayne.
This was like, is she thinking?
I think George she was Clooney, just looking
Val
for some.
Kilmer, Michael Keaton.
She just like got guy the clutches of Tom and needed some.
She was
some
so
young...
desperate to be free, and
another,
she was
like,
free.
Young, relatively slight frame, white
kind of brunette guy, like
hair.
Yeah, they kind of look
youngish,
similar,
boyish
don't
look.
I guess Fallon at his like young cutie.
Yeah, I could see like Tom Cruise being like Jimmy Fallon's like psycho older brother.
You mean the other way? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon's like the normal brother, and then his psycho older brother, who's a Scientologist, is Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
As we're saying all this, suddenly Goose ain't looking so bad, Nicole. Maybe you should get with
Goose.
Yeah,
what
Goose
about Goose? What about PJ? What about PJ?
Yeah, what's
PJ,
PJ
was
up
perfectly
to?
Fine.
PJ with his cute little butt.
That's BMX talk. Still can't do it. Fuck.
Yeah, I think we should end this on our Australian accents to just see where everyone is at.
I have to go with like I'll come on down the outback, rustle up some grub.
Oh, Ryan.
Still very Texan. some shrimp on the Barbie.
A little shrimp on the Barbie. I'm so bad, I can't do it.
Two days ago, I saw a vehicle that big enough to haul that tanker. You want to get out of here? You talk to me.
That's
mine.
What was the Nicole Kidman, your walkie-talkies have gone walkies? Is that...
Yeah, it looks like
your walkie-talkies have gone walkie.
That's so bad.
Walkies.
Looks like your walkie-talkies have gone walkies.
Oh, that's good.
Well, this has been fun and all, but I should be getting back to my vents. I don't know how you non-venters deal with the smell down here.
There's a smell?
We deal with it one day at a time, Jackie. One day at a time. Stay safe up in those vents.
Later, Jackie. Next time we watch a movie, I'll try to make sure it's not cursed with blood magic.
Ah, could have been worse. Come on, Ryan. Help me tear down this BMX track you built.
You know, Mike, now that it's here, maybe we could just leave it.
I suppose it might be nice for morale if you two had a healthy outlet for aggressions.
Let me see that bike, Ryan! I'm dropping in!
Attaboy, Mike! Watch out for that bloody ramp!
Mike, look out! Crikey!
Ah!
You bat! Get out of the car! Get out of the car. You're right in the poo now, sister. Shut up. Explain yourself to him. Come on. Come on.
Your little walkie-talkies have gone walkies.
What's she talking about?
They're being looked after.
Bloody kids. Let's put the frighteners on them. You get the clubs, I'll get the shooters.